If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
My goal from the beginning was to not have to work more than 2 hours a week on this business. The real work is going out and finding the deals, getting them set up. But once they were running, I said, I want them to be able to run in 2 hours a week. And we've done that. So that's pretty incredible with the technology out there now.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Michael is the host of the Short-Term Rental Secrets podcast and founder of the Short-Term Rental Secrets Mastermind, a training and mastermind program that helps investors launch, automate, and scale their short-term rental portfolios. Michael and his wife, Kristen, founded Occupied LLC, a national short-term rental investment and management company in 2017 as a vehicle to build passive income so they could stop trading away time from family for a paycheck. That vision came to fruition within 18 months when their short-term rental portfolio replaced their income, and Kristen and Michael both left their corporate jobs. They're based out of Boston, Massachusetts, and currently have a portfolio of 41 short-term rental properties across 4 states, including 2 boutique hotels on Boston's North Shore. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
And you know, I call you Michael because that's in your email. I guess, do you go by Mike or Michael?
Either one is good with me.
So. Okay, great. Good deal. Hey, the same questions I ask everybody who comes on the show is, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm sure like many listeners, right? I was taught, go to school, get good grades, get a good job. And somehow in 30, 40 years, you're going to retire and live the good life, right? And everything changed for me when my son was born. He'll be 5 next month, which is crazy. But when he was born with a rare lung disease called interstitial lung disease. And basically, anytime he fell asleep, his oxygen would get really low and he had to be monitored and put on oxygen tanks and all this crazy stuff. So we spent a lot of time at a pediatric hospital in Boston. And at one point, we had been there about 3 weeks straight. And as all the doctors were coming in and, you know, sharing their diagnosis and all this stuff, the only thing I could think about was, I'm all out of vacation time. I'm all out of sick time. I have all these hospital bills piling up, and I'm going to have to leave my wife and my son in here to go back to a desk and trade time for money. And I was so angry with myself as a father and as a husband. I told my wife that day, I said, I have no idea how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to find a way for us to build a business that gives us the income we want without trading our time for money. And I knew real estate was going to be the vehicle for us, but shortly thereafter, I stumbled across a gentleman that was doing short-term rentals. And he kind of walked me through his numbers, and he was averaging anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 a month on these properties. And in my head, I'm like, man, I need way less doors going this route than I would with traditional multifamily or any other asset class. And so we jumped in, and I took a loan out of my 401k for a down payment and some renovations on a 2-bed, 2-bath condo up in the mountains in New Hampshire. And we said, all right, let's give this a whirl. We'll try this out. But we made a commitment that we would use it every single month as a family. And then when we weren't using it, we'd rent it out. And just like this guy said, I mean, we were netting after mortgage expenses, everything, $1,500 a month on this little 2-bedroom that I had paid like $200,000 for. And I was like, I'm sold. Like, this is the coolest business model ever. And so from that point, you know, I didn't have any more cash to continue investing. Couldn't live off of $1,500 a month. So I started approaching other real estate investors that had small multifamilies, you know, on Boston's North Shore where I'm from. And I was like, hey, listen, if you invest in the furniture, I'll design it, I'll build it out, I'll run all the operations. But what if I could make you an extra $500 or $1,000 a month, and we'll do kind of like a revenue split? So we do a 75-25 split. And, you know, within a year and a half, I had built that up. We had 15 properties across 5 different states and had a boutique hotel under contract with one of those investors that I met early on. And so that was the point that I left, my wife left, I actually retired my mom too, which was really cool. And then we were off to the races. And now we've got a second boutique hotel that just closed last month. And we're up to 41 properties, like you were saying. So it's been a crazy ride, but it's awesome.
Wow. How did you cook up the idea of going to small multifamily operators and saying, hey guys, you want a partner?
Yeah. So there's 3 different ways that you can make money with short-term rentals, right? You could buy property, just like we were talking about. You could do rental arbitrage, which is really big in the Airbnb short-term rental space, where I'd go to you and I'd rent your property for, say, $1,000 a month, and I furnish it, and then I put it on Airbnb and some other platforms, and I net whatever the difference is. But I didn't have the money for the furniture, or the first month's rent, last month's rent, security deposit. So I said, well, what if I brought this opportunity to the landlords? And I was like, hey, you have a lot more upside here. If you invest in the furniture, if I could say it costs $10,000 to furnish it, but I can make you an extra $500 a month, that's $6,000 a year. That's a 60% cash on cash return on that $10,000 investment. Are you getting 60% anywhere else right now? Right. And I got a lot of no's at first to like kind of refine that pitch a little bit. But once we got rolling, the results spoke for themselves and it was all referral based. Most landlords had never seen anything like this before.
Right. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. So do you still only, or do you own your own properties now? I know you said you've got these boutique hotels under contract, but, or do you always just go and work with other landlords, or, you know, predominantly work with other landlords?
Predominantly other landlords. And so now with the hotel that we got last year, one of my investors brought that deal to me and he was like, hey, would your systems work at scale, like with a boutique hotel, right? It's 13 rooms, not huge, but it's a great location. One of two like beachfront properties on the North Shore. Awesome, awesome location. And I said, yeah, I said, I love it, but I don't want to do a management fee for this one. I want ownership. So we had a little partnership where basically two investors put in the money. I ran everything and we split it three ways. And we took the valuation when we bought it. We basically doubled the NOI and the valuation in about 9 months implementing all these systems. So they were pretty happy with that one.
Right, right. Yeah. And you guys did that in 2020.
Yeah. We bought it in February. COVID hit in March. We needed to renovate it. So it took us a few months to renovate it. We opened it June 18th, right as the governor had opened the state up. So the timing was actually perfect and it crushed it. We were 97% occupied all the way through the summer. And then we held a solid like 60% through the fall. And then, you know, it kind of dwindles off towards November, December. But I mean, it brought in some serious revenue.
Wow, that's awesome. What was kind of the model around that? I mean, obviously it's short-term rental, but who comes to stay there and how did you sell a 13-room, you know?
Yeah, so we basically repositioned the asset, right? So it was an older, location was amazing, but it hadn't been renovated since probably the 70s, right? So it was really outdated. We were targeting a younger demographic because there's nothing else in that little beachside community that had been updated and renovated to that extent. So we wanted to attract a lot of the millennials, you know, anywhere from 30 to 50, that kind of age range, working professionals around the Boston area that could get out of the city, you know, 40, 45 minutes away, that were looking for a nice renovated place. So we don't have a front desk. It's all self-check-in. We've got an amazing club room that has games, huge TVs, like a lounge space, huge farmhouse table. We've got an enormous deck with tons of lounge seating. So guests can get there. They check themselves in. We have extra linens, towels, toiletries, everything at the property. They need us. We have what we call mobile concierge. So we've got a number they can call or they can text us and our team's able to assist, but we don't need a front desk. So we don't have a lot of the overhead that traditional hotels have where, you know, OPEX ratios on a hotel are around 65 to 70%. Which is substantially higher than multifamily or a lot of the other asset classes. So we were able to achieve a 41% expense ratio in the first year by implementing a lot of these systems. So we don't have nearly as much overhead. And we took the average nightly rate from before it was anywhere from 120 to 150, we're at 350 to 500 a night. So we completely repositioned that asset.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. And that's on a per night basis.
Exactly.
What have you done? Because, you know, I think you hit on it earlier, but scaling, how have you scaled this and not just created another job for yourself?
So it's all about leveraging technology, right? So there's a few different key pieces when you're getting started, when you're doing hotels, a little different. And I'll talk about that in a second. But when you're getting started with, say, just a regular vacation rental or some type of short-term rental in a suburb or an urban setting, you're going to need technology around your pricing. Right. So we use a dynamic pricing tool. So our rates change every day, just like an airline or a hotel, you know, based on local supply and demand and what's available. So that gets taken care of to attract our ideal guests. You need a guest communication system that will automatically communicate for guests. So the system I recommend for a lot of new folks has artificial intelligence. So you build up this database of FAQs from your guests, and then it'll detect, oh, this is a question about parking. This is a question about the pool. This is a question about, do you allow pets? And it'll automatically trigger that message to go out for you. And then obviously having your standard confirmation messages and check-in instructions, check-out instructions, all that good stuff gets automated as well. Having the cleanings. So I use a third-party cleaning company. Anytime I get a booking, it triggers an event on their calendar and I have text message reminders that go out. So they accept the task, they go in, they complete the checklist, they send us photos. We've got a supply inventory checklist that they go through and restock supplies for us. Any maintenance issues that come up, they communicate that and then they coordinate it with our maintenance team to get that taken care of. So I just use all third-party contractors to handle that stuff. And it worked out really well. And then once I hit around 6 properties, then I started, you know, bringing on some part-time virtual assistants. Now I have a team, like an actual, like my company's team is 4 people plus myself that are all full-time. We have 1 local person and then we have 3 VAs. And then, it's a pretty lean operation, like leveraging all the technology, right? So now it's just, we have like a back office phone team, you know, through VAs, I can answer any questions about the property, redirect stuff. And then we just use third-party contractors as our boots on the ground.
That's amazing. Do you have a background in tech, in deploying tech like this?
No, but I'm really good with systems. So my background was, I was a CPA on the audit side. So I was auditing companies for a long time, learning like what best practices were for like creating systems and process. So I kind of geek out on all that end of it. And my goal from the beginning was to not have to work more than 2 hours a week on this business. The real work is going out and finding the deals, getting them set up. But once they were running, I said, I want them to be able to run in 2 hours a week. And we've done that, right? So that's pretty incredible with the technology out there now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, how did you select the technology or did you build it from the ground up?
No, it's all third party stuff. So I'm not an IT tech person, but I invest heavily in my education. You know, I was involved in 3 or 4 different masterminds around short-term rentals. I've been in real estate masterminds for a couple of years, personal development stuff. I invest heavy in my education because if somebody's already at the level I want to be at, I want the fast lane. Like I'm fine paying for it. I want to know, I want to get there quick.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's really, really cool. Talk to us about the difficulty of finding deals. You'd mentioned that.
Yeah. So I think it depends on your strategy, right? But as we all know right now, certain asset classes, you know, single family homes, vacation rentals, even multis, I mean, cap rates just keep getting compressed. I'm sure that'll shift at some point, but it's pretty tight out there. So it's all about just getting out there and trying to find motivated sellers. Like at the end of the day, there's always somebody that's going to need to sell. And so I like properties that I can go in and reposition. You know, I'm not really looking for turnkey stuff. I'm still fairly young in my career. So I'm willing to be a little bit more aggressive and look for those deals that we can go in and add value, basically burying these commercial properties, these boutique hotels. So that's kind of my focus. You know, both of the deals that we've done on the commercial side, they were motivated sellers. They wanted to get out. They needed to get out. Financing on the hotel side is a little challenging right now, but we were able to leverage some SBA program on this last deal to get that deal done. So it's been interesting.
Yeah. So is that your next kind of iteration of your business is more the boutique hotel and less the single family residence turned short-term rental?
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of like the next level, the next challenge, the next frontier or whatever. I've been doing the short-term rentals for so long that it's kind of like plug and play now. And it's great. It makes good money, but I'm always looking for that next challenge. So yeah, I'm targeting, you know, boutique hotels at 20 to 50 unit range. Same thing with multifamily. Like I could do it on a multifamily property as well and probably do some type of mix of, you know, short-term and long-term in those types of properties.
Yeah. And that was going to be one of my questions is any of this long-term or is it all short-term?
So the ones that we have are all short-term.
Right.
Some of the properties that I run for owners, like there's a 6-plex that we have 2 out of the 6 units that we're doing short-term. Mm-hmm. And then he's got 4 long-term tenants in there too. But you'll definitely see this trend continuing, especially on the larger multi-asset class, multi-families, where short-term operators will go in there, they'll take a whole floor. Or, you know, some will take 5% of their inventory just because the cash on cash return is way too good to ignore. Like it's pretty crazy.
Right, right. So you're telling me that there are multi-family operators now with, say, a 200-unit complex, and they're taking 10% of that or 5% of that, call it 10 units, and making those short-term rentals.
Yes.
Oh, that's fascinating. How does the property manage? I mean, because you know, on a bigger complex like that, you've got, you know, a property management that's really set up for one way of doing business.
Mm-hmm. So they'd contract somebody like myself, or a lot of them will just master lease a floor out to somebody like myself doing a rental arbitrage play. So they'll just pay their regular rent, but somebody else is going in there and making a lot more money.
Right. Right. Have you had any trouble? I mean, most of the time, you know, as landlords, we want to know who it is that we're renting to.
Yep.
So how do you overcome that objection from a landlord that's like, well, I don't want to just rent to you. Now you're going to have, you know, wild parties here on weekends with people I don't know and who's responsible. And I mean, there's a lot of fear and trepidation.
It's a four-step system. So going back to the systems, right? So the first piece that you can do, there's services out there that will actually run a background check on every reservation that you get.
Oh, wow.
And they'll provide you a report, right? So if landlords need that, you can absolutely do that. The next piece is you want to set up the listing the right way to attract the right demographic. So a lot of my units, I like working with families and couples, right? Folks like myself that have little ones or whatever. So the way that we set them up with kids' bunk beds and kids' games, like it's not really attracting that party crowd. So it kind of deters that a little bit. But then we use smart Wi-Fi locks. So it automatically integrates with all the platforms. So the access codes change every single time for every guest. They automatically expire. We have security camera systems that we put outside the unit to make sure that who's ever arriving there is the people that's supposed to be. And then we have noise monitoring software in the property. So it doesn't record conversations or anything creepy like that, but it measures decibels, right? So if it goes over a certain threshold, I get a text message or my team gets a text message right away. So we know everything that's going on in that property without question, because we got eyes and ears on it 24/7.
That's wild. That's wild. And even with security cameras and things like that, though, it requires somebody to be watching that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's only good so much as you have somebody paying attention to it.
But if you think of it, if there's a lot of people going into a unit, they're going to be making noise. So then we're going to get a text message right away.
Right.
It's hard to ignore a text message.
Yeah.
My team, and you also figure out where are the pockets, right? So we're checking the cameras around check-in time and then around 9 o'clock and then 11 o'clock. And then we'll check them again in the morning to see if anything crazy happened overnight. But those text messages will come in no matter what. And honestly, I've had thousands of reservations at this point. I've only had maybe 5 instances where that noise actually went above the threshold.
Oh, wow.
Most think that like, if I have a property on Airbnb, like people are going to trash my place. If you talk to any of my maintenance guys, they will all tell you that the short-term rentals stay in way better condition than the long-term rentals. Because if you think of it, we're having that place professionally deep cleaned and sanitized multiple times a week. Like it has to look mint every single day. But then most people are going to an area, they're traveling to go do something. They're going to visit family. They're going there for work. They're going there for some conference, whatever. They're really only in the unit from like 8 or 9 o'clock at night till 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. And the majority of that time they're sleeping.
Right.
So like there's not a lot of wear and tear on the units.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah. Setting up, I mean, I guess developing that tech stack was probably one of the hardest things I would think to overcome, but it's something you figured out. I mean, because now you probably have the same cameras, you have the same, it's all the same software. So all of your team can log in and they have their own specified, you check all these cameras at this time and just, yeah, good for you for developing that system. So you've got it now with 41 units and you spend about 2 hours a week on it.
Yes.
Where could you scale this to?
I could go as big as I wanted, to be honest. Most of my time now is focused on the coaching side of it.
Okay.
Again, my whole goal was to replace my income in a couple hours a week to spend more time with my wife and my son. I've done that and some, right? So like financially, like we're good. Obviously, I want to keep building my wealth. If I wanted to, could I take down a few hundred units, 500, 1,000 units? Yeah. Is it my goal? No, it's not. You know, somewhere around 100 doors, I'd probably cap it. Although I said that when I got to 20 that I was going to cap it. And then you just kind of keep going, I guess. But yeah, I mean, most of my time, 98% of my time is focused on doing stuff like this and on my coaching programs, which is what I like doing, you know, speaking engagements, all that fun stuff. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. Once, I mean, you've got your time back, which is the ultimate.
That's the ultimate currency. Like, I don't care. Like the money's awesome, but like I get to decide what I do every day. That's the best currency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, that's that. You've got an amazing story. I guess one last question for you before we jump into the final four. What happened with your child and their, you know, you wanted your time. You wanted to get him or her out of the hospital and get that figured out. Where did that end up?
Yeah. So have you read Think and Grow Rich?
I have.
Okay. You remember that first story in there about his son that was born without ears and he kept instilling a belief in his son that someday he'd be able to hear?
Sure.
Well, I kept reading that over and over and over again. And all that I would do every day we'd put our son to bed. We had to put one of those oxygen monitors on his toe. And every night I would do that and I would just close my eyes and visualize myself. And I just held that belief that like one day he was going to be fine. Right. Prior to this, there had only been one other case ever of a child outgrowing this. And I was like, okay, cool. You're going to have two now. And I just kept telling the doctors this. And I just held that belief. And I would just visualize myself in his body, breathing through him, visualizing us playing lacrosse outside, throwing the ball around, whatever. And after 3 months of doing that, once I started doing that, you know, one day put the oxygen on and he was perfectly fine. He hasn't needed oxygen since he was about a year and a half. So he's perfectly good. He just ran by my office. But yeah, it was a miracle. It was awesome.
Man, that's super cool. That's super cool. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time to share both that personal story and just how you guys have had success in business. That's fantastic. Let's jump here into the final four. The first question is this: what is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Know what you want and why you want it. A lot of investors out there, there's a million ways to make money in real estate and in business in general. You want to laser in on and focus on one, but understand what are you trying to achieve? I do a lot of calls and I ask people, what is your goal? And everybody says financial freedom, and that's fine. But what are you going to do with your financial freedom? You need to figure that out. And then once you do that, that's going to be your North Star. That's going to pull you into action and keep you laser focused on what your goal actually is.
Right. Love that. When it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
I invest heavy in masterminds. I spend somewhere between 30 to 50 grand a year on different masterminds. A lot of them are focused on mindset, personal development. I just keep sharpening the axe. And a lot of people think I'm crazy for doing that, but I mean, my numbers don't lie. So it's paid itself back tenfold. Right. So
right.
Yeah, I invest heavy in masterminds.
That's great. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
Giving back and teaching other people how they can become financially free with this vehicle. For sure. I love doing this. And then I also am a big supporter of the Operation Underground Railroad charity that saves kids from sex slavery.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Good for you. Good for you. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah, for sure. You can check out my website. It's STR, like short-term rentals, strsecrets.com. I've got some free trainings on there. You can check out my podcast, Short-Term Rental Secrets. You can find me on Instagram at the Airbnb Guy, Facebook at the Airbnb Guy. I'm on Clubhouse a lot right now. It's just at Michael Shogren. I'm pretty heavy on Clubhouse most days. So
that's awesome. Michael, thank you so much for your time. This is great. Certainly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.